Welcome to Right Now. I'm your host, Stacey Chadwell, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Joining me tonight is Kathy Greenberg, who helps company executives and employees maximize their potential using her unique happiness equals profit business formula. Having done so successfully for more than two decades, she wins rave reviews from clients as well as from leadership gurus, including Warren Bennis, Marshall Goldsmith, Noel Tishy, and Frances Hesselbein, co-founder of the Drucker Foundation and Leader to Leader. Dr. Greenberg, a former managing partner for both Accenture and CSC, advises global Fortune 500 executives in all industry sectors to achieve her amazing results. Dr. Greenberg conducts leadership and organizational assessments, develops internal coaching networks, and provides direct executive coaching and development based upon proven results. Her books have become mainstays for senior executives and human resource administrators who seek to harness the power of happiness in the workplace. Global Leadership Next Generation, co-authored by Marshall Goldsmith, ranked as the number one leadership book on Amazon.com and HBR. Her best-selling book, What Happy Working Mothers Know, followed the international acclaimed success of What Happy Companies Know, How the New Science of Happiness Can Change Your Company for the Better, and What Happy Women Know. Working with a team of worldwide experts, Dr. Greenberg and Dr. Bennis completed the most comprehensive work to date with Accenture on developing the executive of the future. Their efforts are featured in the Drucker Foundation series, Leading Beyond Walls, Coaching for Leadership, and the Future of Leadership with Warren Bennis and Marshall Goldsmith. Dr. Greenberg has been cited as an authority on leadership and human behavior by all major business and financial news organizations, as well as by popular media outlets such as Oprah Magazine and Martha Stewart Living Radio. Named a top 100 leadership coach by Executive Excellence Magazine in 2008, she is an engaged speaker and business talk show host on Voice America Leadership Development News. Thank you for joining us, Kathy. How are you this evening?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much for asking me to be a part of your program again, Stacey. It's really great to hear your voice, and I'm very excited about sharing with your audience.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. So what inspires you to write?
You know, I think life experiences are truly at the root of anyone's desire to write. In my case, my life experiences, while perhaps unique to me, may not necessarily be a unique situation in the sense that there are things that I have discovered in life that might be applicable to someone else's unique experience. I've been very fortunate in my life, and I choke up a little bit when I say that. And as a result, I find it important at this stage of my career to help and support others and their personal mission. And so I'm trying to pay it forward by helping as many people as I can in the time that I have. That's really where I write from. And my passion for writing now comes from that desire to help others.
So how does your writing inspire others?
Well, I think for the past couple of books, what I found was a sense of connection with a large variety of people, not only in the global community serving business, but working families that serve business. And I've been so fortunate to talk to global leaders and business professionals and both working moms who are working inside the home and working moms who work outside the home, and have learned a great deal about their experiences, which I've been able to capture and share with others. So whether you're working with a mom, supervising or managing a mom, or you're a mom that's managing and supervising others, including the people in your household, all of the things that I have learned over the years in the 9 books that I've contributed to seem to have come through in the last few books, and that makes me very happy. Hopefully people will find some resonance here in our discussion today.
When and why did you begin to write?
Originally, I was writing as part of a team, as a managing partner at a large global consulting firm called Accenture. And that was writing for publication in books that Accenture was promoting in the marketplace on leadership, leadership development, strategy and development, and in support of our research center at the time, which was the Accenture Institute for Strategic Change. Prior to that, I had been an internal methodologist at several organizations, including Computer Sciences Corporation, CSC, which you mentioned, and had written their global change management product and service offerings. And when I started writing with Accenture's professional public relations team, I was acting as a subject matter expert in leadership development, and we published well over 50 articles and seminal pieces in many, many different kinds of publications and journals and several books. And that led me to work with wonderful masters of the subject, including Warren Bennis and obviously Marshall Goldsmith. Met wonderful people that I have continued to work with, such as Noel Tishy and Francis Hesselbein, and now the minds in neuro leadership, including David Rock, and just a wonderful host of people who continue to work in our domain of leadership and development.
What would you define success as it pertains to writing?
For me, it's getting a very salient point across with as few words as possible, and it's obvious that I do that in writing much better than I do it in words. I think there is a definite sex difference in the number of words that men and women use, and I use far too many.
So, what is your most powerful writing moment?
My most powerful writing moment to date has been a testimonial to my mother, who was a wonderful woman who's passed and who inspired me to be very independent and to celebrate my experiences in life. My mother was not a highly educated woman in the classic sense. She barely graduated from high school. She was a burlesque dancer, and she was a fascinating human being and studied people quite well, and I think I get my emotional intelligence, as they say, and my street smarts from my mother. I wrote a preface and testimonial to my mother for a book I wrote with Dr. Dan Baker called What Happy Women Know. Unfortunately, the editor chose to basically ignore that testimonial to my mother and thought that it did not fit the tone of the book. And, you know, that's an example of how often being inspired can sometimes be thwarted by the, the people that make decisions about what makes a book successful, because what I thought would make the book engaging and what the editors and the publisher and our professional writers thought would make the book engaging were very different, and I learned a great lesson from that experience.
How about that? What are the three most important personal tips you could share for achievement and fulfillment through writing?
You know, that's a great question, Stacey, because I think that's going to be very different for everyone. I'm sure that you know, people have expectations that often are not met, as I just gave you a great example. But I do think there are three key things that can help align those expectations, because I've learned along the way from some very smart people that there are three things that cause a relationship to fall into what we call a breakdown. And so the same kinds of things can happen as a writer if you're not clear on what those expectations are. So the first thing is, what is your vision for this book? Is it something you want to write because it's going to make you happy? Or is it something you want to write because you think there are lessons to be learned that others can use, apply, and do much more expeditiously by having it all in one place, and you think this has a general application? Because I have a lot of people who call me and ask me about writing a book, and they go into this beautiful dissertation on why everyone should read this book about them. And we love to be our own best subject, and anybody who's an interviewer professionally knows that you ask someone a good question about themselves, a curious question about themselves, and you'll have a great interview. The problem is we don't often think of the application of our subject, us, in comparison to the general population. And so you have to be smart about how you want to tell your story. And so that vision for that book is so important. Are you writing it for you or are you writing it for someone else? And often I tell someone who's writing a book for themselves, you know, you can write that book and you can self-publish it or you can put it on Facebook or you can, you know, put it anywhere you'd like for people to access it and see what kind of responses you get before you go through the blueprint of the creation of a book outline and submitting it to an agent and really being able to challenge the publishing community to publish that. So that's the first one. The second one is, I think, a really important one related to expectations is, who do you want to read the book? And I learned from some very smart people in the industry who specialize in this, that a book should appeal to all the different Myers-Briggs types. And we wouldn't think about that under normal circumstances. We would think, okay, people are going to pick up the book if they like the title. You know, they'll kind of look through the what we call the introduction and the index and kind of look at what you're trying to get across. But not everybody reads a book that way. And so what I've learned over the years is you have to write a book for all the Myers-Briggs types, because there are some people who are going to want to follow the book A to B, B to C, C to D. There are other people who are going to read Chapter 1 and Chapter 4 and Chapter 9. There are going to be people who want to see a very detailed index so they can look up information and see if their favorite author or some information perhaps that they have been working on is included in the book. And then there are people who are great social networkers in the book, and they want to see what kind of stories you have. Are they engaging? And then there are people who love tools and job aids, and they want to go through the book and see where is the self-help or teachable point of view, as Noel Tishy would say, in the book. So when you get that Myers-Briggs type inventory understood, you can clearly write a book for all and allow it to be your book, but to flow for the purpose of the reader. And that is a very important context to keep in mind when you're writing. And the third thing for me is, and I don't know how others feel about this, is to make the book pithy, on point, and subject appropriate. So, you know, if you're writing, for example, for Global Leadership Next Generation, as I did with Marshall Goldsmith in our groundbreaking research, which he still writes about in What Got You Here Won't Get You There and in Mojo. And, you know, that seminal piece was based on a global study that we did together. And one of the things that I learned in that process is how to apply data. And if you're going to be pithy and seminal, you have to take into consideration who's reading, how much time they have, how long a chapter is, and how a chapter can be helpful to someone in a very short period of time. And the same thing with What Happy Working Mothers Know. You've got someone's attention for a period of time. Do you write it like a good novel and make them want to read the next chapter? Or do you write it as a standalone piece so that in 15 minutes, a very busy working person can pick it up, find what they need, and move on, and not necessarily have to read it in the order in which it's written? So to me, those are the three points: vision, audience, and being adaptive and creating a book that's easy to read with information that's easily accessible under time constraints.
You know, I hadn't heard that before about the Myers-Briggs types. I'm familiar with them, but I had not heard that about writing for all of them. That's great.
There's a great group of people who I have had the privilege of working with who specialize in these kinds of psychological analyses behind a book. And I can truly say that one of the reasons why What Happy Working Mothers know is, you know, number two New York Times best-selling book and a number one Wall Street Journal book is because we followed those principles. And I will do that with every book that I create going forward.
Very good. So tell me how these three things work for you.
Well, number one, creating a vision, especially if you have a co-author, as I did with all of my books. I'm a team writer. I like having great minds producing content that's excellent and rich and diverse. And when you have co-authors, you want to make sure that you have a common vision and you have a common goal. And there are a set of principles that you operate within because, you know, in most instances, as we know from Global Leader Next Generation, Marshall and my friend Alistair Robertson, a former partner of mine from Accenture, and Maya Huchan, who's a specialist in multicultural global leadership, you have to know where everyone's sweet spot is, or as our friend Marcus Buckingham would say, where those strengths lie. And using a great set of instruments, for example, my friends at Talent Plus have a wonderful instrument for determining where your strengths lie, you can parse up the team's responsibilities and roles such that we're all doing what we love to do, which is self-motivating, and in the science of happiness, where I spend most of my writing time, you broaden and build on those strengths. And we also know that practicing those strengths makes us better at what we do. So contributing using those three points is very important, and making sure that we're all aligned on that. It's not just about a book outline and a publisher that loves the idea and a PR team that's going to get behind the book, but it's the team that creates that energy. And to me, those three points, that vision, the audience, and then adaptability are key to making sure the team works well together. From my point of view, I've also shown in the books that I've created to date.
What are your favorite writing tools?
That's an interesting question. I never thought about that. I really don't think I have any favorite tools. What I do have, Stacy, is a perspective on situations that I'm very privileged to be a part of. For example, I'm in the process of creating a program right now for Naval Special Warfare Ops, and I feel very privileged and honored to be asked to be a speaker at our Navy SEAL training center. And I'm going to talk to our folks that are active duty, and then I'm going to speak to their families. And I look forward to hearing their stories and to being in the moment when I capture perhaps just a statement that is somehow reflective, you know, of something that is going to pull in my mind, in my heart, in my spirit, a story. It will be a story that will be crafted based on many stories so that you have a compendium of situations that become a subject that can be built upon and then a lesson learned. And hopefully others will feel as strongly about those subjects as I do. And in any good writing style, we also have to be able to, you know, protect people's names. Obviously, these are people that need to be protected for a lot of reasons. And we also need to express their story in an honest and authentic way. So for me, the writing tool that makes me want to write is listening to people's stories and finding a way to put them together in a meaningful way and deliver them to the audience and make them really say, aha, you know, that really, that makes a lot of sense to me. And having heard it this way, I can now take it apart in a process and I can learn from it, and now I can create a little tool that I can put at the end of that story to help somebody see and reflect on their own situation. So to me, those are the kinds of tools that I like to use. Does that make sense?
Definitely, definitely. What books have influenced your life the most?
That's an interesting question. I think the Warren Bennis books have been incredibly influential on me, a very poignant story quickly. Warren has been one of my mentors, obviously Marshall, a dear friend and research partner. Noel Tishy has been a dear friend and advisor. I've worked with wonderful people like Edgar Schein, who I just saw again at the recent Linkage OD Summit in Chicago. I am very blessed to work with many people. I have been blessed to have received advice and support through our radio show, people like Sonia Lubomirsky and Jim Kouzis, and I mean, I could go on and on. The reason that I mention the names of these many people is because they've all written salient books. They've all written on the subject that I have now started to build upon, and that is leadership, the science of happiness, and emotional intelligence. And, obviously, Daniel Goleman and Dan Gilbert, and, I could go on and on and on. So, those are practical books. I think the books that have really touched me in terms of storytelling are books like Jane Eyre, books like Frankenstein, the classics that tell a story within a story. And that's a lot of what I try to do in my business books, is write stories within stories.
Do you have any advice for other writers?
The only advice I would give to a writer is do what you feel makes you really proud and happy that you've decided to either put your work into a digital format or a printed format or, just handwriting it. Whatever it is that you want to do, do it. I speak to so many people on the subject of leadership, but I'm always asked the question, I want to write a book. I have a book in me. People have this bucket list. I will be honest with you, Stacey, my bucket list never had on it to write a book. That was never in my wildest dreams on my bucket list. My bucket list is very simple. Unfortunately, my life has been extraordinary. So all the things that people put on their bucket list, like jumping out of a plane or writing books or, seeing the world, those have already been checked off. So my simple life right now is focused on living a happy, full, healthy life with a partner who loves and respects me, watching my children have their own children, and looking at the world through their vantage point and understanding these generational and exponentially different human citizens that we're creating all the time. So when I think about how someone wants to write and what they want to write about, I have advised actors and actresses who are trying to write poetry or their life story. I've advised sports celebrities who are trying to write a story that helps kids get on the right path. I've worked with former Miss Americas who have created books that are touching the lives of young women and building confidence. And I talk to women who simply just want to write their story because it's a healing process. So in this part of my life, it's such a joy just to listen to what people want to write about and then help them find that way that has meaning for them to distribute it. And I say to all people who want to write, write. It doesn't matter whether anybody reads it. What matters is that you wrote it, and it has served a purpose, touches the hearts and spirits and minds and souls of many people. It will eventually get to where it needs to go, which is a testimonial to books that we now know very well, like the Harry Potter series or the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, or, I could probably go on and on with books that have been self-published and eventually wound up where they need to be because someone saw the value in the story. And that's the secret sauce, that someone else sees the value in your story.
Tell us your latest news.
My latest news, I have a book in the works hopefully for 2013. I'm not in any hurry because this has got some research behind it. The book is untitled at the moment, but it's in the genre of the Happiness series, or What Happy Brands LLC series. And it will be about global leaders and flourishing and multi-generational differences in emotional intelligence and the science of happiness. And I'll leave you in suspense with that.
Do you have anything specific you want to say to our readers and listeners?
I think that this is a wonderful mechanism for helping people understand where their true gifts might lie and giving people the motivation and the coaching and the sensitive viewpoint of people that you have been interviewing in this series. And I just kudos to you, because I think you're providing a very genuine, helpful, and resourceful service, because there are so many people out there who are really chewing at the bit to get their words out for so many reasons, and establishing what that reason is and who might be the right audience for them is so helpful. And I know that that's where you're going to be the most successful in helping people, and I find that very satisfying myself.
Oh, thank you so much, Kathy. That's such nice words. And I can tell the listeners from meeting you, you're as authentic as you sound. You're very sweet and thoughtful.
I try. We try to live the life that we espouse, and it's interesting that you say that, because I've had a couple of production companies for reality TV who've wanted to follow me around for the past couple of years and see if, in fact, I live the life that I espouse. I have to tell you, that's a true test of one's ability to live their own words.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I can see that. So, do you have a website that you would like to let our readers and listeners know about?
Surely. I have a new venture with my partner, Dr. Relly Nadler. And, of course, he is an author himself. And we have a website called Excel Institute. That's X-C-E-L, which stands for Excellence in Coaching for Executive Leadership. And that's Excel, XCELInstitute.com. And from there, you can find Relly Nadler's website and my website, where the books are found. And I think that's a great starting point. So I'll leave you with that website for right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for being here tonight, Kathy. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. I'm Stacey Chabot. Have an excellent week.